President's message to Congress and Senate on July 8, 1970. President Nixon made it a point that the Taos Blue Lake Bill be promoted, be enacted. And when the bill finally passed in the Senate, President Nixon signed the bill into law on December 15, 1970. We now have the message from the President of the United States by Bobby Green Kilburg.
Sorry about the rain. We in Washington, and the President in particular, used this really as a bipartisan occasion. So this was a bipartisan effort. The President, the Vice President, Senator and Mrs. Harris, Senator Robert Griffin of Michigan, former Governor Cargo, Congressman Haley. Without all of them, it couldn't have been done. But perhaps the real people that it never could have been done without was the Taos Pueblo delegation. The Cacique, Paul Bernal, former Governor Romero, the entire delegation came to Washington and left an imprint on all of us that we will remember for a very, very long time. They had an honesty and a self-respect and a strong belief that a moral Washington could really not ignore. And so before I read this message, I'd just like to say thank you, Paul, the Cacique, John Rayner, for teaching us all anew something about mutual respect and values and understandings and deeply held beliefs. And the President would like to have this message read to you today. It is a great pleasure to express my warmest wishes to Governor Reyna, the Cacique, the members of the Taos Pueblo Tribal Council, and the people of Taos Pueblo on an occasion that marks the return to you of Blue Lake and its surrounding land. I consider the signing of Public Law 91-550 one of the most significant achievements of my administration. It is more than just a land settlement. It is a symbolic turning point in the history of those who were the first Americans. It is the beginning of a new era which will finally achieve for you the fullness of the prosperity and progress you deserve as citizens of this richly endowed land. As the Cacique so eloquently put it in his remarks at the signing ceremony, a new day begins not only for the American Indians, but for all the Americans in this country. I celebrate with you on this occasion the arrival of this day and pledge my continued cooperation and that of my administration to the new brotherhood it represents and the new partnership it creates. If we work together, it will surely not be long before the victory you commemorate will be counted as one among many. Thank you very much.
Please, before very long, we have with us the United States Senator, Mr. Joe Montoya. Senator Montoya.
Thank you very much. Senator and Mrs. Harris, Governor Reyna, distinguished members of the Tribal Council, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I guess we can all say that today is a wonderful day for the Taos people, but it is also a day of great justice for the American people. But I want to pay tribute to a few people who deserve credit for the reality that is today. LaDonna Harris led the lobby in Washington, and she had some very good lobbyists. She had the Taos Pueblo Indians and the Caciques, who journeyed to New York for interviews to tell their story to the rest of the country. Washington heard them, America heard them, and then the Congress acted. That is democracy and the true process of democracy. I want to say that Senator Harris was a valiant soldier in this fight because he led the fight in the United States Senate. And to all these people, I give great credit. And we today are celebrating the fruits of that victory, celebrating it in our hearts and in our minds, because the ecology around us truly represents what these people have been fighting for centuries. Yes, America came of age, and America's people have already shouldered the responsibility for justice to all those who may be trampled upon. It's great to be here today. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Montoya. Look, I own I tell now we own a scar duct in the now, I heard you. I told him, but send for me, I told him no sense to I own a you know I'm quen, I was now I say to say one when I own a time I know five I under you know the queer I then own a pawn I quite in the center of home. The Roman could duct in Queen, no one got you in the side of I heard you know I'm owner no one that in fair tell and the other make the time. ก็ยังอยู่ในปุ้ยไม้ตะวันก็ยังเข้าใจไม่หมดไปอุ้มไม่อ่ะก็ยังอยู่ในตะวันทัดติยุนมาท้อไปใบตูดอ่ะคนนั้นอ่ะมาท้อไปยุ่งในยุ่งในปุ้ยไม้สูดเลยนะเพราะแค่เนี่ยเพราะเพี้ยนเนี่ยวิ่งเข้ามาเนี่ยน้องมาคิดต่อมันเอาว่ามาเอาเสื้อมาเนี่ยมองคิดต่อมันเอาว่ามาเสื้อไม้ตะวันก็ยุ่งในตะวันทัดแต่เนี่ยใจมันมองแค่ตะวันอ่ะคือไปยัดในตะวันก็ยุ่งในตะวันทัดติยุ่งมันก็ตัวตาเพราะว่าหน้าคือตัวตาไม่หน่อมมาหู ก็เลยเห็นว่าโดยในยุคนั้นตอนนั้นคุยนั้นแต่มาต่อไม่ได้วิ่งเข้ามาก็ยังมาต่อหูยัดในตัวไอ้ตัวก็ยังอยู่นะห้องนี้จู่ไม่มาอุ้มมาก็มาอุ้มฉันได้เฮ้ยยุคฉันคุยนี่ไอ้อุ้มแม่หูน่าจะว่าน่าวิ่งจะได้น่าจะว่ายุ่งนะน่าพ้นมาเขียดต่ออีนวัดตัวมาให้เรื่องวัดต่อถ้าเรื่องวัดได้วัดทัศน์เสียเจ้าหน้าเป้าหันหน้าไล่ในยุคนั้นที่วันน้อยนะเขียดต่อข้อไหมยุคนั้นพ้น อีเหี้ยสำหรับปุ๊บอีเหี้ยสำหรับปุ๊บผมคิดเอาไว้แบบปุ๊บเนี่ยตายอยู่นะเสือเลยนะแต่วิ่งเข้ามาวันเป็นแต่ติดแต่ตายวันนะเสือเข้ามาเองพอวิ่งเข้ามาตายวันนะอยู่เลยนะมาแต่ติดเธออยากกี่โอเคยัดใจยันเธออยู่นะเธอนะคุยนั่นนะแน่นอนนึกว่าเขาไม่คิดนะเพียบแต่ผมไปนั่นเสือเลยเดี๋ยวผมไม่จงโอเคยัดจิตปลาเลยนะน้องไม่ฟูดนะน้องไม่หอนะอีเสือไม่ตายใจดอกป่วย ยัดใจยุ่งในตะวันทัดติดนับเปอร์เซ็นต์เข้ามาบ้านเสือแม่มาไม่ตุ้งยุ่งในเสือนะยัดใจตะวันไอ้ตะวันก็ให้ถูเลยไม่เอาน้องกูว่ามึงไม่ตุ้งก็ยังได้ยุ่งตุ้งไปนะครับจะได้มาเปลี่ยวไม่ตะวันก็ยุ่งในอ้อนหมดเสียซ้ำมาหกกูใครน่ะแอร์ไหนมันเอาไปปุ้ยยุ่งในเสือเลยนะมึงกูว่ามายุ่ยเจอไอ้ขี้นี่เนาะตอนไหนแม่มันเปลี่ยวไหนมันได้อะไรขนาดตัวไปมองชัวร์มันเนาะนี่ต่อมาเอาไปยุ่งในเสือขี้นี่ determination。你那我们没有那老鬼，没错啊，没有嘛没，有那么一来嘛，你都没有那当然Harris。有那那晚他点那答应的嘛，跟那回来话该怎么去办？那该找个嘛口令的，阿爸找个中分那样的，我来他们那那该找起嘛鬼啊，那没样的那别家困难，没样的，你那为那有那办了，可能那有一台没的，别个也还没别的没样的，他们那能好。Thank you。
Senator Montoya, his lovely wife, Mrs. Montoya. We now have the message of the Vice President of the United States to be presented by Robert Robertson, the Executive Director of the National Council on Indian Opportunity.
Mr. Rayner, Governor Reyna, Kosicki, honorable council members, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It's a pleasure indeed and an honor to bring to you this message from the Vice President of the United States. Today is indeed a historic and happy one for the people of Taos Pueblo and for all those who have supported your struggle over these many years to secure the return of your sacred Blue Lake land. I regret that I am not able personally to share this joyous occasion with you. However, I am grateful for this opportunity to relay to you the happiness I feel in what you have accomplished. No single issue grasped the interest and attention of the total Indian community more than did the need to return to you your religious lands around Blue Lake. Those of your leaders who devoted so many years of their lives to right this 64-year-old injustice are to be congratulated. Through their efforts and the efforts of your many supporters, the interest and attention of a great many other Americans was focused on this issue. The importance of the return of these sacred lands to you rests, it seems to me, not so much in the fact that a material thing unjustly taken has been returned, but that you are assured the opportunity to maintain a culture which is so precious to you. As President Nixon has said time and again, we must recognize that American society can allow many different cultures to flourish in harmony, and we must provide an opportunity for those Indians wishing to do so to lead a useful and prosperous life in an Indian environment. While this, the return of these lands, directly affected only you, I believe that it was a clear demonstration to Indians everywhere that this administration is not only interested in the rights of Indian people, but is determined to see that these rights are protected. Let me emphasize, just as the President did on July the 8th, 1970, in his Indian message to the Congress, quote, that no government policy toward Indians can be fully effective unless there is a relationship of trust and confidence between the federal government and the Indian people. Such a relationship cannot be completed overnight. It is inevitably the product of a long series of words and actions. But we can contribute significantly to such a relationship by responding to the just grievances which are especially important to Indian people. The return of your sacred Blue Lake lands is a prime example of this action being taken. Close quote. Before closing my comments, I would like to thank you again for allowing my 15-year-old daughter, Kim, the rare privilege of visiting with you and seeing your beautiful Blue Lake last summer. The thrill of that trip and the gracious reception she received from all of you is a memory that she will carry throughout her life. Congratulations to all of you, and best wishes for a happy, memorable victory celebration. Thank you very much.
This is LaDonna Harris at this time for a presentation.
I wanted to, some of you know, I'm president of Americans for Indian Opportunity. One of the beautiful things that happened in being involved with this Taos people is that Indians from all over the country passed resolutions, wrote their congressmen and their senators, all to help the Taos people. And I think one of the good lessons and the beautiful things that happened to all American Indians is that we help one another by helping the Taos. So symbolically, I want to present this to Paul Bernal for the people who came to Washington to represent the Taos people, that all of the American Indians throughout the United States had their thoughts and prayers with them and working together like we did on this one thing, that we can achieve a great many more things for the American Indians.
Because I chose to choose what they wanted to be known to the American public. Because they want the American public to know that these are the people still wanted to remain as the native of this country and still want to defend and want to preserve of their country in the way they want to practice in this country. And it's the freedom of this country this government has come about centuries ago. And I do think that this is a great symbolic, it's a great significance that all these good people have done for the Taos Indians, and through that, the other American Indian is going to receive such a benefit and such a recognition. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul.
One of the very important people to help us with the Blue Lake issue was, at the time, the governor of the state of New Mexico. I believe there has never been a governor in the state of New Mexico who has been so responsive to the efforts of the minority groups in New Mexico. He, while being a governor, named over 22 Indians on various commissions and boards, and was not disappointed, because these board members, commission members,
served him responsibly and ably. I believe that Governor Cargill will long be remembered, not only by the Taos Indians, but by the Indians of New Mexico. And at this time, it is more than a pleasure to welcome this very special guest at this occasion, the Honorable Governor David F. Cargill.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests. And I must say to those that have been involved in politics, I'm waiting for somebody to claim credit for this rain. And I don't think it's going to happen. But I would say this, that we were so very interested in Blue Lake. We were so interested in what was going to happen that some of us were most apprehensive that again the cup of iniquity would overflow and we would not be successful. I think that this is really a tribute to those people that worked so hard on it. Senator Harris, I know, worked very, very hard on it. And your tribal leaders here and many people throughout this state and particularly throughout the nation. So when this came to fruition, I think that all of us had a very pleasant feeling in our hearts. And I shall never forget when all of the leaders of this pueblo returned from Washington to New Mexico, and I must say that it was one of the most emotional days in my life. So I want to thank you very much for inviting me, and particularly my good friend John, and I certainly hope that the crops grow because we're off to a good start. We'll look for another annual meeting next year and we'll try and work on the rain.
Of the effort and leadership that Senator Harris has given to us, and also Mrs. Harris, the Pueblo of Taos is pleased to present a present to Senator Harris by Mr. Zeferino Martinez, the council member of the Taos Pueblo tribe.
For others, for Indians and tribes, for Indians for themselves. That it can lead to employment for Native speakers as teachers, consultants, curriculum developers. That it will lead to greater community and parental involvement in an exciting educational enterprise. And that the learning of the Native language as well as English is not simply a bridge to the past, but more appropriate for our time, and familiarity and skill in having different cognitive systems is useful in this multinational and multi-ethnic world. However, the problems involving dual education are rather formidable and ought to be considered carefully when thinking of possible programs. First, many Indian languages have no written form, no standing authority. The standardization of orthographic, the orthographies of the main Indian languages in this country is probably one of the major goals in current efforts to improve the education of Indian children, according to the proponents of bilingual education. Also, although the theoretical problems in bilingual education have been rather fully examined, there is little practical experience with the day-to-day problem of teaching in a bilingual classroom. Also, there is a dearth of relevant curriculum materials. Who is to develop these materials? If teachers work on curriculum in local situations, there is likely to be a great duplication of effort. Many teachers don't have the skills and feel burdened by the problems of curriculum development. Most people, parents, pupils, teachers, take curriculum as a given and expect the professionals to handle it. Regional laboratories are beginning to work in this area and are, and in association with universities, are probably the best groups to handle the development of curriculum here. And such groups as the Southwestern Cooperative Educational Laboratory of the University of Texas have been working on developing bilingual education materials. There is another problem, a significant one. There is an absence of yet adequate testing to determine the language competency of the children. Many people assume the children don't know the native language. Many people assume they know English when this is not at all clear. And in many cases, there can very well be deficiency in both languages. Tests that are currently being developed to examine this problem. We do not really have a good language center for entering student children. It's an area that we need to hear. There is, in addition, a resistance of many educators committed to English-only policies, and in point of fact, there is very little bilingual education taking place. Although additional materials and methods of English-only have not always been successful, have been in many cases unsuccessful, and they carry with it an implicit dumping philosophy, which many are beginning to question. There is a shortage of teachers trained in linguistics. There is little linguistic training going on in teacher education institutions. And there is still a lack of adequate funding. Title VII funds are still limited. Again, models to demonstrate the value of bilingual programs and the use of native languages are relatively scarce. There are the beginner's class at Rock Point, Troy Boarding School has such a program, Rock Rock has such a program, various Head Start groups have such a program, and there are some BIA kindergartens have such a program, so that there are efforts being made by both the BIA and the Office of Education in this regard. However, these programs are relatively new. They have come into being only within the very recent past. They have yet to demonstrate their effectiveness, and they are handicapped by being in this position of being pioneers. Last but not least, there is an indifference by members of the non-English speaking communities themselves concerning whether or not children should be taught in the tribal language. And this ambivalence may be resolved as models of bilingual religion prove to be effective and as militancy among college educated Jews in this regard increases. In summary, then, it could be said that there is a general consensus among students, parents, and teachers that some aspects of the tribal and or Indian history and of culture should be taught in schools in some way. Teachers and influential people appear to feel more strongly about this than students and parents, and the main evidence of change may come from them for the time being. A majority of students and parents also express an interest in the tribal language and making it possible for children to learn or use it in school. But interest in this is less strong than interest in the tribal culture. Moreover, substantial minorities were disinterested in or opposed to the school's teaching or using the tribal language, often because they felt it would interfere with learning English better, that they may not be correct in this, of course, the professional language regardless. Indian parents, as well as our field workers in most communities, agree that their respective schools are ignoring the Indian or tribal heritage. There are, of course, a number of exceptions, but on the whole, the Indian heritage is ignored. As far as differences between the various schools are concerned, it is difficult to generalize about the reasons for the relative strengths of various opinions and attitudes. It does appear that students, parents, and teachers in relatively cultivated Indian communities who have considerable contact with non-Indians are less concerned about the tribal culture, except in places like Minneapolis, where strong Indian consciousness is being developed through a militant Indian movement. As far as the students, parents, and teachers in the middle and low end of the acculturation continuum are concerned, however, no general factors are identifiable. The least acculturated communities, for instance, are often not the most strongly in favor of an Indian orientation in the school program. Of course, it may very well be that such community energy can teach about Indians and don't need the school to do it. Moreover, the fact that one group of respondents, that a student is relatively strong in their feelings about having a tribal cultural language taught in school, does not necessarily mean that the other categories that persons interviewed or tested, such as parents and teachers, are also most strongly in favor of this. It appears that in order to explain the strength of feeling which students, parents, and teachers have toward these questions of assimilation, acculturation, the Indian culture, or the use of Indian languages in schools and more about particular circumstances, the micro history, as it were, of each community, and take into account the particular problems, needs, and considerations and concerns of the people of that community.
Can you take questions?
The secondary schools which the Indian masters attend, as I pointed out in the curriculum, parallel the secondary school development throughout the nation. That is, they are increasingly comprehensive schools. And it would appear from our data that this is accepted by most people as being public. The fact of the matter is any effort to turn those secondary schools into technical schools or vocational schools, perhaps, or what have you, is likely to be questioned.
Thank you. given you those data right at the beginning. As the question was, what percent of the schools are public, what DIA, what boarding schools, and so on, in our study? First, as I guess most of us know here, about 65% of American Indian children are now in public schools. And about 27% are in federal schools, and about 7-8% are in private schools. And we followed that pretty much. That is, most of the schools we studied were public schools, but some of them were all Indian. As you know, for example, Montana, all Indians and attend public schools in Montana. So we studied the Montana school, it was all Indian. Washington, Tahoe, you know, all Indians in school, was public school. So that it turned out that the distinction between DIA and public became less important. And as Dr. Fuchs has indicated here, we actually found that the distinction in curriculum and so on, there was no great distinction, except along the line you suggested that where you have all one tribe, and that was then they're very likely to make good use of the language, and more likely to make use of Indian cultural material. The Quinault group in Tahoe have their fifth graders largely devoted to studying their own tribal culture. And the language gets used there. It could not be in the high school where the youngsters go, or whether in the minority high school, it drops out. When they go to a public high school, it's a larger district. Actually, I think that out of the, there are about 40 different schools, with some of them, two or three in the community, about 40 schools.